saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in his presence, and he restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to him in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Just so far this morning. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord God, we do want to still our hearts before you this morning. We do want to hear what you have to tell us this morning from your word. And so, Lord God, we depend now on your Spirit to help us to focus on you and you alone. Speak to us, Lord, this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and sold into slavery into Egypt. And while serving as a slave in Egypt, he was falsely accused and imprisoned. In Genesis chapter 40, which we've read this morning, we find Joseph in prison. He can't get out of prison, he can't appeal his sentence, and he certainly can't, it seems, escape from this prison cell. But Joseph has faith in his God. He knows that God has a special plan and purpose for his life. He knows a little bit about that plan and purpose because it was revealed to him when he was back home with his family, also through dreams that were given to him. He knows that God has a plan and a purpose for him to be a ruler one day, in order that God might bring blessing to him and his family, and also to the nations of the earth, just as he promised his grandfather Abraham. He knows that he will be a ruler one day. But that one day seemed a very long way off, there in that dark, damp prison cell. With no foreseeable way out of this prison, all Joseph could do was wait. To wait on the Lord for his plans and for his purposes that he had promised and he had revealed to be fulfilled in his life. We begin this chapter with Joseph in prison, and we end it with Joseph in prison. We begin this chapter with Joseph waiting on the Lord, and we end this chapter with Joseph waiting on the Lord. And so we want to learn something this morning about what it means to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is perhaps the hardest Christian discipline we have as followers of Jesus Christ. I think generally most of us would agree that we don't enjoy waiting, do we? Yet waiting for something or someone preoccupies, I would say, a good portion of our lives, doesn't it? We are waiting for, some people are waiting for grades from varsity or from school. Some of us are waiting to graduate. Some of us waiting for a job offer. Waiting for relief from pain or sickness. Waiting for our house to be sold, maybe. Waiting for the right time to start a family. Waiting for news on loved ones who are living far away from us. Waiting for conflicts to be resolved, maybe in our families, in the business place, among friends. Waiting maybe to meet that right guy or right girl so that we can be married soon. Some of us are waiting for special people in our lives to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some of us are waiting for prayers to be answered, waiting for what God wants us to do next with our lives, waiting for trials and sufferings to come to an end in our lives. It seems like waiting is such a part of our lives and something that we really don't do good in. We struggle with. Hence, we often hear that phrase, I just can't wait. I just can't wait. And so when it comes to waiting on the Lord, we know it's going to be tough to do, but we want to do it well. We want to wait well on God because we know that His plans and purposes are the best for us. We know that He has some special purpose for our lives. Now, the key to waiting is what we do while we wait, isn't it? What we do while we wait. And we see in Joseph's life here in chapter 40 of Genesis, some things he did while he waited on the Lord, things which we want to take note of, because we know the story of Joseph, because God's plans and purposes did come to fruition. They were fulfilled in Joseph's life, and they were the best for him. Even though he had to wait on the Lord, even though he had to go through some times where he found himself unfairly in prison, even though he had to experience the betrayal and the abandonment of his family. We want to take note of these things because we also want to wait well on the Lord as He brings about His plans and His purposes for our lives. And first of all, we see that while Joseph was waiting on the Lord, he remained faithful to God in the everyday things of life. While Joseph was waiting on the Lord, he remained faithful to God in the everyday things of life. We read in verses 1 to 4 that while Joseph found himself in this prison, two of Pharaoh's chief officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, obviously had done something to offend Pharaoh, the king. And they were sentenced to be held in prison for the time being. And there they were given to Joseph to take care of. The captain of the guard, who was Potiphar, as you remember, from Genesis chapter 37, who bought Joseph after he had been sold into slavery, he entrusted Joseph to take care of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. The word attend there in the scriptures, in the original language of the Hebrew, means also to care for, to minister to basically serve. And so Joseph was entrusted with the task there in prison from his previous master to take care of, to serve these two officials that were found now in the same prison as Joseph. And of course, Joseph accepted that instruction and did it well, just as was the case of every other task that was given to him. But I want you for a moment this morning to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. As Potiphar comes to him, this man who once he trusted Joseph with his entire household, but then threw him unfairly into prison to take care of maybe his two friends, definitely his colleagues, as they await trial from Pharaoh. How would you react? How would you react if this man who you had served so faithfully but cast you aside suddenly came and asked you to serve in prison once again after you had been unfairly treated? Possibly I might say that we might have had a bad attitude. And we say, how on earth can you expect me to serve you now after what you've done to me? Maybe Joseph had the attitude of, well, I'll just do what I need to do. I'm not going to go out of my way to look after these two guys. After all, I've been dealt unfairly. But not with Joseph. He did what was asked and he did the everyday things, even though it was serving these officials in prison with all that he had, all that God had called him to do. After all, that was what God used to make Potiphar notice him while he served in his household. That's what got him noticed in the prison by the prison wardens as they entrusted to Joseph everything of the runnings of the prison. You see, Joseph, while waiting on the Lord, gave himself fully to what God had called him to do, even though that meant serving Egyptian officials in prison, because he trusted that God's delays in fulfilling his purposes did not mean God's disappearance in his life. I say that again. God's delays in fulfilling his purposes in Joseph's life did not mean God's disappearance in Joseph's life. It would have been easy for Joseph, waiting and waiting every day in prison on the Lord, seeing his life go from a slave to a prisoner, to easily say, God has abandoned me. God has left me. He's abandoned his purposes for my life. Sometimes we find it easy to accuse God of disappearing from our lives when we wait and we wait on the Lord. But not Joseph. Joseph trusted that God's delays were not his disappearance, that he was still very much with Joseph there in that prison cell, still working and planning and shaping and preparing Joseph for his plans for his life. Friends, while we wait for the Lord, we must be giving ourselves fully to the things that God has called us to do. No matter if they seem unfair, no matter if they seem real menial to life's greater picture, God has called us where we are, where we at, whether it's to be a grandparent, whether it's to be a parent, whether it be a boss at work, whether it be to be a friend to someone, whether it be to clean the garden, or whatever it might be, God has called us there because he's in a work of planning our lives and preparing us for something that he wants to achieve in our lives. And we ought to give ourselves fully, just as Joseph did, to whatever he calls us to do. God's delay doesn't mean that he disappears from our lives. But we also see Joseph, while waiting on the Lord, trust in his relationship with God. We read in the following verses that one night both the chief cupbearer and the chief baker had a dream. And in the morning, Joseph could see the frustration, see the dejection, see the irritation in their faces and in their demeanor, and asked them what was wrong. To which they reply that they're frustrated because of these dreams and they had no one to interpret these dreams for them. Yet Joseph responds, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Dreams are crucial in the story of Joseph. Joseph has two dreams, as I've mentioned, early on in his life. We read about the two dreams that these officials had in prison. And we're going to experience and read about the dreams that Pharaoh had also. We know from the story that these dreams are God's ways of showing the future. We read that God speaks through these dreams to Joseph and to the people that are going to be affected. We understood that God was the one, or Joseph understood that God was the one who could give interpretations for dreams, because God was the one who gave the dreams. God was using the dreams to speak to people. Can God speak to us through dreams today? Absolutely, he can. But that doesn't mean that every dream that we have will be God speaking to us. But here, God uses dreams to speak to people. Joseph obviously knew this, especially after his own dreams, and how he had a conviction in his heart that one day he would be that ruler that God was planning and purposing for his life. But what happened to those dreams? What happened to Joseph's dreams? Those dreams seem to be just what they are to some of us, just dreams, especially for Joseph at this stage where he finds himself in prison as a slave serving the king's officials. How far can you get removed from what God had planned for his life? He could have easily responded to these officials and said to them, "Forget about your dreams. I also had dreams, but they were shot to pieces. Forget about them. But he didn't. He doesn't even say, don't worry, fellows. I'm an expert on dreams and interpretations. Give it to me and we'll figure it out together. No. Rather than giving into despair, rather than giving into false optimism, Joseph points them to God, the one who had given dreams, the one who interprets dreams. And he shows his trust in his relationship with God. He says to them basically, in my own paraphrase, there is a God in heaven who gives dreams to men. He and he alone can explain the dreams you've had. I don't have the answer in me, but I know the God who does. And so tell me your dreams and let's find out what God has in store for our lives. And so they tell Joseph their dreams. And he interprets them from his trust and dependency on God, even when one of those dreams was quite a negative interpretation. Again, friends, while we wait on the Lord, it's easy to be self-dependent, isn't it? It's easy to trust in oneself to fulfill the plans and purposes that we have for our lives. Sometimes we pray and say, well, God, if you're not going to do this thing in my life, then I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure it gets accomplished. It's so easy to abandon our faith. It's so easy to hinder and break our relationship with God when we don't see the things in our lives that we want and we know God wants for our lives being fulfilled. It's hard to wait on God when we don't see the things happening which we know that God wants to happen in our lives, and we lose touch with God. We kind of sever that relationship we have with God. But not Joseph. Joseph trusted on God and his relationship with God. He knew and he trusted that God's delays were not God's disapprovals of his life. Say that again. God's delays are not God's disapproval of his life. He knew his God. He knew his God was the only one who was able to help him out of this prison cell and to be the person that he wanted him to be. And so Joseph trusted that God's delay in his life, in bringing about his plan and purpose, wasn't his disapproval, but he trusted in that relationship. Lastly, we see Joseph, while waiting on the Lord, persevere through disappointments. We read in verse 12 to 15 that after Joseph gave a favorable account to the chief cupbearer about his release and reinstatement into Pharaoh's service, Joseph asked this official if he could remember him before Pharaoh one day, so that he could get out of prison. He could get out of this place because he had done nothing wrong. Was that Joseph not trusting God? Absolutely not. Wouldn't you in that position also want to tell someone who you know is going to get out of prison to remember me? Try and get me out of this place? Joseph did. But we read in verse 23 that after the interpretation came true, the cupbearer took up his post in Pharaoh's palace and he simply forgot about Joseph. Forgot about Joseph. Forgot about the person who was so kind to him in that prison cell. Forgot about this person that has a special gift from God to interpret dreams. And it wasn't just for a short time, but it was for 2 years, folks. 2 years. The cupbearer forgot about Joseph. Joseph thought this was his way out of the prison. This was God's provision for him now. But it would only be God's provision for him 2 years later. 2 more years of waiting in that dark, damp prison cell. 2 more years of waiting for the cupbearer to say something. 2 more years of being disappointed every day with no cupbearer there to greet him, no cupbearer there to say, I've spoken to Pharaoh, your case is being attended to. Friends, I'm sure you will agree with me that there is nothing worse than having our hopes dashed, especially when we're waiting for something important to us. It's almost as if we feel denied of what we rightly deserve. I'm sure Joseph felt that in that prison cell. I deserve for that cupbearer to remember me, and yet he hasn't. Somebody was telling me recently about their visit to Home Affairs, where, as you know, you go there and you sit in chairs waiting for your time to be served at the office. And you're in this long queue. And every time someone gets served, you get up off your chair and you move to the next chair. We all know about that, experienced it. It's fun, isn't it? But this person was in this queue, and they were moving down the chairs and closer to the front to be served. And they saw that the people were getting up and then going through a door into a room. And they obviously thought to themselves, well, that was the office where they would be attended to. And when they got to the front of the queue, their hopes of, yes, finally I waited an hour, now I'm going to get out of this place. But as they entered that door, they entered another room with a whole bunch of chairs. And their hopes were dashed that now they had to wait on and on. It's not nice, is it? Waiting and waiting and then having our hopes raised and then suddenly, man, they're taken from underneath us. It's also not nice when we wait on the Lord. And sometimes we get hope when things might be possibly coming together for us. We might be able to see the light at the end of that tunnel. Maybe God's plans and purposes are just around the corner. But then they deny it. And we have to wait and wait some more on the Lord. Couldn't have been nice for Joseph to live with such disappointment for 2 years as he waited on the Lord after having his hopes raised through the cupbearer's presence in jail. But Joseph persevered through that disappointment. He persevered through God's delay once again because he knew this time that it was not God's denial of his plans and purposes for his life. Friends, God's delays in our lives is not his denial of his plan and purpose for our lives. Joseph trusted that these disappointments did not mean that God had scrapped his plans and purposes for Joseph. But Joseph trusted that God was obviously preparing and working his purposes out to perfection so that Joseph could be that ruler that God wanted him to be one day. So often we allow our disappointments. So often we allow those times when our hopes are raised and dashed to think that God has denied us what we rightly deserve. Instead of growing us closer to God, we find ourselves walking and wandering far from God. We ought to be like Joseph and persevere through those disappointments, trusting that God is in control, trusting that no matter what we do, God is working his plans and purposes to his perfection for our lives. Friends, I don't know what you are waiting on the Lord for this morning. I don't know what you are hoping God will do in your life or in the lives of your loved ones. I don't know what you have been on your knees praying and asking God for years, maybe. But what I do know from Joseph's life and from, I guess, my brief personal experience as a young man, waiting on the Lord is not always easy. It's not always easy. We want things to happen now, don't we? We want things that are dear to us to find their fulfillment now. I also know from this passage this morning that waiting on the Lord is an incredible time of growth for us. God is working in our lives even though we are waiting on Him. Because we see in Joseph's life that God's delays does not mean that he has disappeared. He wants us to trust. He wants us to rely that he's very much with us. We learn that God's delays are not His disapproval of our lives, but that He wants us to grow in our dependency on Him. And we learn that God's delays are not His denial of His plans and purposes for our lives, because He will, as we saw a few weeks ago, He is committed to fulfilling those plans and purposes for us. Now, waiting on the Lord is about God preparing us for those plans and purposes. It's as almost as if God is waiting on us as we wait on Him, so that His plans and purposes might be fulfilled. God is waiting on us to be ready to embrace everything that He desires for us. I guess that's why we read the prophet Isaiah say these words: "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And even though youths grow weary and tired, and young men and women stumble and fall, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Friends, let us wait well on the Lord, because He is there for us every step of the way, waiting for us to receive His plans and purposes for our lives, the best that our God, our Creator, has for us. Let's be those that wait well on the Lord. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we thank You so much this morning that You know us intimately as our Creator, as our Father, and as our Savior better than anyone else does. You know that we are so frail. You know that we are so weak. Yet You give to us all that we need, so that we might experience and enjoy the plans and purposes that You have for our lives, even if it means waiting, Lord, waiting on You. As we've seen this morning, Lord, waiting on You is a time for You to prepare us, to grow us, to embrace everything that You desire for us. And so, Lord God, give us what we need this morning, we pray, that we might be able to wait on You well, that we might not deny ourselves of what You would want for us, but that our trust in You would grow, because we know that You are committed to Your plans and purposes for us. Oh God, help us, we pray, as we wait on You, not only to fulfill things in our lives that, Lord, maybe You've revealed to us, maybe that we desire, but Lord, we, as we wait on You for You to either come again or to take us to be with You, help us to persevere, so that we might embrace the purpose of being with You forever in Your glorious presence one day. Oh Lord God, help us to wait well on You. Amen.